Welcome to Bite Size Immunology. I'm your host, Dr. Rayan Najjar, a physician scientist in rheumatology. Antibodies are one of the weapons made by the immune system to fight microbes. What makes them special is that they are custom-made to damage their intended target. In this episode, I start by discussing the structure of antibodies. Then we'll move to the main part of the podcast and tell you four stories. One imagining what it would feel like to be attacked by antibodies, a second story about a castle under attack, a third story of a fox hunting rabbits, and a fourth story on two types of leaves. These stories will illustrate the main functions of antibodies. Antibodies are proteins made by specialized immune cells that are called B cells. They also have a second name, which is immunoglobulins. Antibodies are shaped like the letter Y, with two arms and a stem. In general, proteins are made up of amino acid sequences that fold into discrete shapes called protein domains. And antibodies are made up of multiple protein domains. Antibodies bind to foreign proteins, which we call antigens. An antigen is defined by its binding to an antibody, meaning anything that an antibody binds to is an antigen. Mostly, we think of antigens as being components of viruses, bacteria, and other pathogens, but they can also be bacterial toxins or products of cancerous cells. Antigens bind to the tips of the antibody's arms, called antigen binding sites. The peptides that make up the antigen binding sites are much more variable in their amino acid sequences than the rest of the antibody. That's why another name for the antigen binding site is the hypervariable region. This variability allows antibodies to bind to all kinds of antigens that the immune system may encounter from all kinds of viruses and other pathogens. The arms of an antigen are identical, so each antibody can bind two of the same antigen. This binding is based on the 3D structure of the hypervariable region and the antigen. They fit together like pieces of a puzzle. The stem of an antibody is called an Fc region. The name comes from early research into antibodies where the antibody stem was found to crystallize easily, so it was called fragment crystallizable. The Fc region binds to specialized receptors called Fc receptors on other immune cells to carry out specialized functions of the immune system. In summary, antibodies have two arms with hypervariable regions that bind to antigens, and a stem called an Fc region that carries out certain immunological functions. Now, let's talk about these immunological functions. I came up with multiple analogies that personify antibodies to understand their function. Imagine you're in a forest and it's fall, so there are a lot of fallen leaves. It's somewhat windy, so the leaves blow in your direction and hit your body. Obviously, this will not harm you in any way in the real world. Now, if these leaves were like antibodies, the following will happen. Imagine some of the leaves were made specifically to stick to certain parts of your body. If some stick to your leg, that's not a big deal. But what if some were made to stick specifically to your mouth and nose when they come in contact with your face? This is obviously a big problem. The leaves will prevent you from breathing. This is analogous to one of the functions of antibodies. They stick to a critical part of an infecting virus and prevent it from performing a function that's required for viral survival. Viruses enter cells by having specialized proteins on their surfaces that interact with the host cell membrane, allowing viral entry into the cell, so that the virus can take over the machinery of the cell to replicate itself. Antibodies that bind these viral entry proteins can block entry into cells, meaning the virus can no longer infect cells. Antibodies with this function are called neutralizing antibodies. Similarly, many bacterial diseases cause damage by producing toxins, And antibodies can also neutralize bacterial toxins by blocking their entry into cells. Now, a couple of notes about neutralizing antibodies. This type of antibody neutralizing function does not require contribution from the Fc region, meaning antibody binding of viral entry proteins is itself sufficient to neutralize the virus. Second, the immune system is not intentionally making antibodies that are neutralizing. It does not have access to this information beforehand. The immune system makes antibodies against anything that looks foreign to it, and some of these antibodies end up being neutralizing because of where they bind on the viral particle. The neutralization that we just talked about happens outside the cells. Now, imagine warriors attacking a castle. Archers from the top of the castle showered them with arrows that wounded them. But still, some attackers make it inside the castle. Even though multiple arrows hit their shields and bodies, they can still fight and cause damage. In a similar way, some viruses can survive being attacked by antibodies and can still make it inside the cell. The immune system has one final trick up its sleeve, and it's a cytoplasmic sensor called TRIM21. When this sensor sees an antibody inside the cell, it knows that the cell must be under attack. So it binds to the antibody virus complex and marks them for degradation in the proteasome. The proteasome is an organelle that chops up peptides into small pieces. If you want your trash to be collected, you put it in certain bins. Inside the cell, if you want to send something to the garbage disposal system, you attach ubiquitin to it, which is a special protein that tells the proteasome which other proteins to digest. Now, back to the forest we imagined, and now let's talk about a fox that's interested in hunting rabbits. It can hunt at a certain capacity, but many rabbits escape, and sometimes the fox is not even sure if it's seeing a rabbit or something else. If there were shiny sticky leaves that were made specifically to attach to rabbits, this would mark the target for foxes. Now it's much easier to identify rabbits. In a similar way, antibodies coat bacteria, marking them for phagocytic immune cells, such as macrophages and neutrophils, to eat and kill them. The way this works is that the antibody's arms bind to antigens on bacterial surfaces. And on the other end, the antibody's Fc regions bind to Fc receptors on phagocytic immune cells, signaling to these cells to eat and destroy the bound pathogen. These phagocytic cells can still eat bacteria without antibodies because they recognize pathogen-associated molecular patterns on bacterial surfaces. But antibodies enhance this process. Also, the antibody-assisted kill becomes very important for certain types of bacteria that hide their pathogen-associated molecular patterns by having an outer cell wall. So it becomes harder for macrophages to recognize them. These bacteria walls still have antigens that are recognized by antibodies. And if antibodies are bound to something, it must be a foreign pathogen. This allows phagocytic cells to identify and eat these sneaky bacteria. Pathogens and our immune system are constantly at war. This has led to an evolutionary arms race, where they try to one-up each other with new weapons. A relevant example here is how some bacteria make proteins that block or cut the Fc region of antibodies to evade antibody-mediated phagocytosis. The process of coating bacteria with antibodies to facilitate recognition by phagocytic immune cells is called opsonization, which is derived from a Greek word meaning to prepare food. Now, again, back to the forest for our final story. Imagine oak leaves that are like antibodies and will stick to the bodies of their targets. When this happens, they attract pine leaves to join them. Each new pine leaf recruits additional pine leaves, and the pine leaves penetrate and insert themselves into the body of their target, one by one to form a complete circle, creating a hole and killing their target. The pine leaves here are an analogy for an arm of the immune system called the complement system, which consists of a group of proteins circulating in the body. They can sense antibodies bound to bacterial surfaces, which triggers their activation. complement proteins are inactive in their native form and become activated when cleaved, each one of them activating the next complement protein in a chain reaction. Complement proteins will assemble on bacterial surfaces and form a 10 nanometer hole. This allows free passage of water and salts, which disrupts essential bacterial processes, leading eventually to bacterial death. In addition to this dramatic way of killing bacteria, complements also coat bacteria and mark them for phagocytosis, similar to how antibodies do that. The name of the complement system comes from early research that discovered how these proteins were complementing the work of antibodies. So, in summary, the main functions of antibodies are to neutralize pathogens and toxins before entering cells, or help mark viruses for degradation if they make it inside the cell. Antibodies also coat bacteria, opsonizing them for phagocytosis. And finally, antibodies activate the complement system. This has been Bite Size Immunology.